The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we are back. It is episode 208, I think, somewhere around there. You got the full squad. You got myself, Michael, Dylan, Nick. Everyone's in town. Dylan, any jet lag running through your veins?
Honestly, no. I went to bed at 8:30 last night. Woke up at 6. Oof. Feel all right.
Awesome.
I think it was more because the way back is like going to the West Coast. So like it's actually, I think, the easier of the jet lags than the going west to east. But we feel all right at the moment.
You're probably still just running on a high anyway. Dylan was in Wolverhampton. He attended Wolves Fulham, which was a barn burner of a game as well. We're going to get into that. We also got Dudes of the Week coming up. We're going to break down this week's Premier League. The Whitaker Family Derby, Man City versus Liverpool, was this weekend. If you lived under a Premier League rock and didn't know that. And then we'll do our little preview for the shortened week in the Premier League. The FA Cup is also this weekend, so a few teams not playing. Saying that, if you're listening, thank you. Like and subscribe, share, do all the things. Michael laughs at me every time I do this, but I have no other way to describe it. But give us a like, give us a subscribing thing, share it, whatever. All right.
Subscription?
Yeah, subscription. Buy us wherever you get your podcasts, folks. We got a lot to get into, so I want to start us off. We're going to do Dudes of the Week first. I got this order off my, just out of the blue. Dylan, you had the best weekend out of all of us. You can go first. Michael, you had the second best weekend out of everyone with the draw. You can go second. Nick, I'm a gracious host. You can go third, and I'll go fourth. I'll bring up the rear like I normally do. Pause. That was not a Alexis joke. Dylan, lead us off.
We'll start off with Percy and the Posada Boys. I'll dive into, when we get into the game, I'll do all this, but essentially one of the pubs in town is named Posada, and as we walked in, and just a general statement, everyone that's a fan in Wolverhampton, for the most part, at least it's in a pub, is 50 years old or older and male, which probably shouldn't have shocked me at all, but they offered us their own shepherd's pie they're eating, told me which beers to grab. Also apparently going to Justin Timberlake and Bruce Springsteen concerts, hate Bon Jovi, like great guys. So, they deserve a shout out. Haven't missed a home or away game in the past 10 years either. So a bunch of legends.
Holy damn.
Wow.
Home and away.
Also told me Saturdays are for the boys without saying Saturdays is for the boys in a British way. And I was like, I love these guys are like having the best retirement or whatever they're doing ever.
That's just their normal life, Dylan.
I know.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
When you go into the pub, do you have to say hip hip Jorge?
They don't even know who that is, so
yeah,
no
shot. It would be actually really serendipitous for you, not that you're a baseball fan so much so, but if like Jorge Posada for some reason just opened a bar in Wolverhampton and that just happened to be what it was.
I mean, there's definitely no relation. It looked like someone's house. Like we just walked into someone's house drinking.
Love it. Michael, give us your dude of the week.
Dude of the week has to be the all parts of Luis Diaz's game apart from finishing. Absolute menace this week. Just up and down that left side. Cooking people left and right. Only thing that would have been better, obviously, if he would have finished. And two, if his dad had the gloves and jersey on. But we don't dock him too many points for that. He still makes dude of the week first round pick.
Love it. Nick?
My theme's going to be on the way back this week because we're on the way back to baseball season starting this week. I'm on the way back to getting back in the pods. We're going to go with Derby County first as we work our way up the leagues. Derby County on a little bit of a run here, on their way up to second place, on their way back from League One, back from the championship. Looking good for the Sheep.
I think they're Rams, but okay.
Rams, whatever. You can cheer them.
Love a Derby County call. My first dude of the week is the only person I could really call out for City, and it's Stefan Ortega. Kept us in the game. Made sure we didn't lose, essentially. So shout out to him. My next dude of the week is kind of a weird one, but I think it makes sense. Shout out to John McGinn. Kind of just knew that Villa didn't have it. Down 2-0, gets the red cards, takes an early shower. Hats off to someone just mailing it in. You know, sometimes it's good to mental health, mail it in a little bit. So shout out to John McGinn. It's my second dude of the week.
Literally forgot how snake draft works.
Oh, sorry.
We've been doing it for so many weeks.
I know. Sorry, dude. It really is. It's the first day of baseball. I'm like, you know, out in the sun. Like I'm like, whew. Anyway, working our way up to promoting ourselves up to the championship. We're gonna go with Leeds, who had a massive 6-point week, and jumping Ipswich, who started to have a little bit of a wobble, getting themselves into the in the second place into the automatic promotion places.
Love it. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Second pick for me, I got the Columbus Crew. I told you last at the end of last year, this season, I was going to be massive MLS guy. Currently up 2-0 on aggregate against Houston. They beat Chicago Fire last game with a last-minute Mohamed Farsi goal. The tickets are regularly $20 to go to these games in Columbus. I'm just going to start going, like, every single time I can. Like, it's ridiculous how cheap they are.
Dylan, you'll appreciate this as us being the two married guys. Michael texted me and was like, man, I really wanted to go to this Crew game. It's only $20, and Morgan didn't want to go. And I literally responded, like, just go.
It's $20.
What's the problem? Yeah. Well, he does have one. But
I do.
You just need to grow up and go by yourself.
Oh, that's what I'm. So listen, I'm giving people chances. I'm giving people opportunities to bask in the glory and then the fun with me. And if I've gotten two rejections so far. Basically, one of them was to go watch the game at the bar, which is like the most mundane thing ever. So it's one more, and then everyone's fucking out. I'm going by myself.
And that's coded for everyone being just Morgan.
Cortland too. Cortland too.
okay.
Failed.
Okay.
After he made fun of Morgan for thinking it would be too cold, he goes, "It's too cold to go to this game." And I said, "Dude, come on. Are you serious right now? Wear a coat."
Damn. All glory to Columbus. Anyway, Dylan, back to back. Who you got?
If you guys can look at your phone, please. I sent you a picture. Because at least for a visual aid for you guys, you'll get it. But if you zoom in to the right, there is a man with a mullet watching the Liverpool City game in this pub. Yep, that would be the one. I don't know this guy's name, but he's my dude of the week for the fact that everyone else was very much a neutral while watching this game, and he was the City fan. And when, as Michael put it, Luis Diaz had one of his one-on-ones that probably should have went into the net and went to the right, I've never heard a larger cackle and laugh followed by, "What a wanker. If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd just go kill myself." And it just started dying.
Jesus.
To the point where I'm sitting there going, and don't take this the wrong way, but you might, it's kind, I mean this as a compliment. This was the English Man City Michael that if you guys were in the bar, the arguments you guys would have had while having so much fun yelling at each other would have been like fantastic to watch.
Are you saying
this guy was
him?
A legend? You and him. You and this guy. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I would have been up this dude's ass for sure.
So they would have antagonized each other. Also, we put this guy's picture up on the screen here for if you're watching on YouTube, so you can take a peek at it.
Yeah, he had the old, was it Hewlett-Packard jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had that on, and then after Luis Diaz missed, he then started going into what was a call that clearly should have been like called for Liverpool, and he just starts like being the most, the refs, Anfield's already bought the refs, this is unbelievable, that type of stuff. And I was like, I think he's just doing shithousery for shithousery, and like, great guy.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, go ahead, John.
I was gonna say, spoiler alert, I'm sure we're gonna talk about a few calls that I may not be on the right side of history with him on, but whatever. Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to say that bar also seconds as, like, when they're not serving beer to people and watching games, it's like a historical site. Like, that's like some old person's house.
That's
like
every pub in England. Just so you know.
That's crazy.
By the way, though, they don't serve you. We had to walk downstairs to the bar to keep getting our own beers and bringing them back up. It was fantastic. I want to watch every game that way.
Damn, that's kind of sick.
I wonder why they think we're so lazy over here.
Yes. True. I did get a TikTok served to me yesterday about, like, the best bars in Ireland. Every one of them have an open fireplace. Was that at this bar, too?
Yes.
Love it. Okay. Next dude of the week, what you got?
They also had some Rugby 6 on before that game came on, and there were some Welsh people there, and it was Wales-France. Also, great match. But yeah. Third dude of the week, I'm torn, because there's a lot of people, because I'd like to give it to this man, but I'll give it to one of the tactical things that he did. Mario Lemina, I'll just give it to the midfield because Joao Gomez too is amazing, but Mario Lemina's that dude. If you did watch the game, which I'm assuming from Michael's text of no when Neto got injured, I know he was at least watching instead of watching those other barn burners that were also going on. And our defensive mini ended up playing attacking mini to playing striker to playing left wing back, a complete legend. Name me another person who can do it. I'm sure you can. But we don't have him on the Wolves, so everyone's falling down on fly. So Mario Lemina is like the perfect Wolverhampton person from what I've met in the crowd as well.
Love it. Miguel, perfect. I'm gonna shout out, because I was watching that game and I had texted about it. Ryan Itinori is absolutely money. He's electric. Dylan, congratulations. You're going to sell him to somebody for $75 million.
Can you believe Lopetegui didn't play him in the squad and said he wasn't good enough?
Yeah, crazy, because he's outrageously good.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guy that doesn't have a job.
Also, he started playing, also true. They moved him up the pitch, too, because we didn't have anyone. He went from left back to left winger.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, we're going to get into this, I'm sure, but, like, Gary O'Neill should win Coach of the Year.
100%.
Yes. I think it's not close. Nick, it's your turn, Nick.
Well, last dude of the week, concluding the On the Way Back tour, is my boy, who you were trashing all week last week, got his eighth and second shutout. His eighth shutout, second in the league, with Jordan Pinkford, ironically. Andre Onana, second in the league in shutouts.
Yes.
On the way back, baby. On the way back.
Very good.
Love it.
Love that for you.
Zero goals given up, just like Man United's goal differential on the season. Love to see it. My last dude of the week, Goonies Never Say Die. And David Moyes, what the fuck's going on? Like, I thought they were going to lose to Burnley. Would have loved to have 3 points for company there. But, like, West Ham are an enigma. Nobody understands them as a team, as a squad, what they're doing. 7 points on the last three games, 43 points on the season. They're four behind Man United. They're a few points out of, like, maybe getting a shout for Europa. This season makes no sense, and I kind of got to shout them out because they clawed back in that one. I really badly wanted to shout out Burnley and Luton for getting a draw, but I don't know. This West Ham team just, I don't get it. No one understands it. If anyone makes money betting them, please explain how, because they don't make any sense. So, Moisey, it's a dude of the week. All right. I think this is more anticipated than the Man City-Liverpool breakdown. Let's turn the floor over to Dylan. As you all knew, and I think we've mentioned a couple of different times on pod, Dylan, you flew out to Wolverhampton for a game against Fulham, which was great because your wife, Alex's brother, is a Fulham fan. You got to take in Craven Cottage as well, but give us a breakdown, a rundown of the experience, and we're now officially an official Premier League podcast because one of our people has gone to an actual game. So thank you.
Happy to help. Been in two stadiums so far. experience was awesome. London was sick just in general, but I'll start off with Craven Cottage. So we went, that should have been a dude of the week. I forgot about those guys. Taxi drivers, also dope. Talked a lot of footy with some of the taxi drivers that would go into this. But Craven Cottage is, I'm like, honestly, really, really cool. I think I was sending it to you guys. the one, the entrance stand is considered like a historical landmark, so they can't change anything, like at all. So the seats are still wooden. Also, I'm not the biggest guy, and I could barely fit in the seats, so I can only imagine what's happening when you're sitting down there.
Like you're standing this standard English guy with the beer belly and the, you know.
It's got to be tough. But to the point where they can't update anything even from a turnstile standpoint. So they're saying when they played Liverpool earlier this year in, was it the semifinals for Carabao Cup? They had all 43 entrances open, and they need to have 43 employees at each one to manually hit a button to let people in because they can't update. They're like, we have the technology to do it. We're just not allowed. So the coolness is as everyone builds these newer stadiums, Craven Cottage is still going to be stuck in history, which would be dope. Yeah. Was able to sit in Anthony Robinson's locker. Took a picture with that, so, you know, got to give the U.S. love. And I sat in Adama's, too, just because, I mean, I kind of had to at this point. I think the best story, and this relates back to Molyneux and probably why Fulham had some tough spots, is obviously away. I think we've seen some documentaries. The away locker rooms aren't great at all. And they mentioned, if you think ours is bad, Nuno, apparently at Molyneux, put a beam in the center of the locker room for the away side. Has no structural importance whatsoever. Just literally so the coach can't stand in the middle while addressing his team.
Mind
love
games.
That shit, Hauser.
Mind games. That's the old Kinnick Stadium, Iowa, painting it pink.
Exactly.
Love that.
It's beautiful. Also, the home seats are only heated and the aways aren't either, which is, I think, in every stadium. But yeah, the cottage was cool. The bar around there, everything's awesome. Our train ticket got canceled the night of, so that was fun, trying to figure out how to get up to Wolverhampton from London, but we got that sorted. Talking to a Tottenham cabbie who was helping me out, said I was a cultured American, by the way, for being a Wolves fan, and talking through him with everything. But our other cabbie was a Fulham fan, talking about going everywhere. He's been to like 64 of all the top flight stadiums at this point from visiting, so we're asking him which was the best ones. I think this is only as someone who has London rivals. I was like, I heard Crystal Palace is great. And he goes, he basically, without saying, was like, I think they pump in noise. It's all fake. It's a fake atmosphere. And I was like, okay.
Love it. Anfield effect.
Followed by, I only root for two teams, Fulham and whoever's playing Chelsea. So got to love how that falls through, too.
A man of the NAFTA podcast ilk.
Yeah, exactly.
We love that.
But made our way up to Wolverhampton. Honestly, English Hoboken, in my opinion. Very, like, smallish city, but you walk through a ton of pubs as you're going everywhere. We got there a little early, so only one was open to start off with, called The Goose. Favorite part about there was they do their own version of boxes for every game, and we should start doing this for big games if we could get, you know, 90 people to do it. But how you do Super Bowl boxes, you pick the minute of when you think the last goal of the game's going to get spent, and then you win, you get scored, and then you win all of the things. So, like, whoever had the 98th minute, essentially, or, like, 94 plus afterwards is what they had on the board, got lucky as hell in this Fulham, in our Wolves Fulham game, essentially.
Damn.
But I think that's a fun little party trick, just throwing that out there.
Sure.
Then went into the Lynchgate before we went to Posada. Lynchgate was where it literally was 60-year-old men only. And a lot of looks came. Started talking to our first fans there. I think everyone was more shocked why we were from America and decided to be Wolves fans. But, like, couldn't be more friendly of, we're so happy you're here. You're going to love it here. Like, meet us at the pubs afterwards. Like, we're going to celebrate. Especially, like I said, my boys Percy and his friends. I think four of them were named John, too, type of thing. just hanging out. So is Percy. They're doing their normal English thing, having great banter, making fun of people, basically just fucking around the whole time. They ended up getting us some drinks after the game, so like they were good people. Walk into the stadium. I think Molyneux was great, in my opinion. Like, not a, in both stadiums, I know it's like not a bad seat whatsoever. We were towards the top, like we probably were like in the third to last row. Still felt like we were on top. of the players and could hear everything. At the bars and at the stadium, $2 beers. Like, can't beat that. How many times do we go into any one of the stadiums in America and all of a sudden a beer that's even $6 is all of a sudden $20? So, like,
so yeah. Well,
you do it right.
This is the thing. One, any Midwesterners listening, yes, Hoboken has $2 beers all over the place, too. You should go check it out. Just like Dylan said, English Hoboken. What's the... We all know that you can't take the beer into, like, the seat. Was it as annoying as, like, an American fan makes it feel like it would be? Because, like, that's kind of the best part about, especially a baseball game.
No, because I feel like once you're out there... To me, I was so focused on the game that I didn't care that I had a drink. Also, I drank a good amount leading in.
Yeah.
But the bar's right there. We were in, because how we got tickets, like we were in one of the club sections. They make it so you can't drink because you could see the field and everything going on during warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were drinking a beer. 15 minutes before the game started, shut the blinds.
Yeah.
And I was not ready for that. And I was like, that's actually fantastic. So it wasn't bad because then you went right back in at halftime and basically you chugged one more beer, went out. And then you went to the pubs again. And, like, everyone is at the pubs until basically, like, they're going into the game 20 minutes before. Like, that's why if you ever look at the games beforehand, no one's really in there because everyone's drinking as much as they can before they go sit and watch the game.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was that bad. It didn't bother me, at least.
Tell me about the actual match because I know that you're sitting there with Aaron being a Fulham fan. And there was one pan to his face that... I've only met him twice, but he looked disgruntled to say the least.
He wasn't having fun. I think he didn't mentally prepare that a loss was an option. That was, I think.
Wait. You can tell new Fulham fan in that regard.
Yes, but with all the injuries we had, like I thought this goes into. I think Gary O'Neill should be manager of the year. I know there's 10 games left, so let's hope. You know. Does something bad doesn't happen in the last 10 games, but what he did tactically, I think, in that game, and it sucks that Neto got injured because we played a back four and we never play a back four. Like, we've been doing a lot of back five with the wing backs, more playing up and playing three center backs. Mm-hmm. And he went for it, like, to start off with the attacking. And, like, Fulham had some chances in the beginning, probably should have scored one in the first half, but. I don't know, seeing the movement of them controlling the ball and controlling the midfield, we've at halftime with how it ended and then Neto getting injured, I think we're happy to be at 0-0. And I thought we were going to lose for the fact that Polina and Adama were going to come off the bench when we had absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah.
And literally, I think I texted you guys, but we came out for the second half and all of a sudden I see Lamina playing striker and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, not as a bad thing, but more like, we're just like, how are we going to score off of this? And then Adore played fantastic, and he came up and pushed up. And, like, it's good we have these versatile, I think, players that literally it just embodied and being there, feeling it, that everyone is bought in to the system and just wants to win. And it's, I think we said in the beginning of the year, I think it's the team full of misfit toys that had chips on their shoulders that are somehow going to push for you up. Now, we have no depth because we have no starting wingers, so Europe might not be a good thing for us next year, but it'll be fun to push and hopefully win the FA Cup.
Yeah, staying on the game, and Michael Mitt, feel free to jump in anytime you want. When you're watching a match live and you end up conceding 2.7 XG compared to your 0.8, like,
is that what it was? I actually didn't see the stats. Is that where we were at?
Yeah, you guys were... You lost this one XG-wise. Not that that matters. But, like, was it... I don't know. Like, did the place get quiet? Like, were you guys singing the whole time? Like, what's going on?
It was definitely singing the whole time. It was a lot of Gary O'Neill's Barmy Army. and then, because everyone who has chance is injured is the problem. They debuted a Nelson Semedo chant, so that was good. He deserved that one.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of that and Come On Wanderers. And then we actually... We were actually one section away from where the Fulham fans were sitting. And I've never seen a more fatter, hair almost falling off, drunk British man that was like the perfect epitome of trying to piss the other fans off while being wasted the whole time. there's a few wankers. I think a fun one was every time that a yellow card potentially happened, everyone just screaming, off, 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 just literally trying to do it. No, the atmosphere, like, I'm sure there's some games where it's quiet. It was loud the entire time, and people chanting the whole time. I will say a VAR check after a goal when you're there, and there's also only one screen in the entire thing that doesn't really show anything, not fun, because I had no idea where the offsides happened, what the hell they were looking at. And then it was more just, okay, cool, the goal stands. So that part I do not like.
Yeah, I can imagine. I told this story before on this pod, but the game I went to was a real Betis game. No screen anywhere.
It's wild.
Insane. No replay screen, no nothing. As a fan, like, I was dumbfounded. So
it's wild. Makes you pay attention more.
True. Big win for you guys, though. We'll stick with this, because then we'll transition into the recap of the week. Like, you're sitting at 41 points. You're 6 off of United in 6th, 2 off of West Ham in 7th, and 1 off of Brighton. Are you dreaming top 10 now?
Top 10, yes. Europe, I think, is going to be tough. I think we need to beat Newcastle leading into this. But, like, I don't know. I thought when everyone got injured, we were screwed in that game, and we keep pushing forward. So I think our ceiling's probably 7th. And if we can get anywhere between 7th and 10th, I mean, honestly, anywhere between 12th and 7th is a fantastic season. But yeah, I think we're a top 10 team.
Yeah. Dude, sick. Well, sounds like you guys had a sick time. Michael, Nick, thanks for attending Dylan and my solo interview. Appreciate it.
I loved it. It was great.
Did you enjoy the game when you guys watched? How was it for you?
Morgan and I were watching, and I said, Morgan, Wolves are on, and she goes, okay. And I said, Dylan's at the game, remember? I told you. And she goes, oh, shit, go Wolves. And then she looked right back at her phone.
Well, you gotta go Wolves.
Morgan's a class A asshole sometimes. I love her.
I was so checking, Dylan. We had our youth camp that day, but I was checking scores for you, so.
Perfect last question. How'd you end up with a flag?
Yeah, which I'm sure you guys haven't watched early enough to watch the beginning of a Wolves game, but they have flags while they sing "Hi-Ho Wolverhampton" whatnot. There's literally signs, they're left there at the stadium, and there's signs that say, don't take the flags home with you, and then one of the flags happened to be laying around when we were leaving the game, so, I mean, who's not going to wave the flag?
Dylan
gets banned from the Molyneux for touching the flag in his one visit.
That would be tragic. That's one of those.
Get back there.
That's one of those things where you got to get people to write you letters of recommendation to be like, this guy's a good dude. It's his first game. He had no clue. The
I also didn't do it, but they hand out QR codes to BetMGM right when you walk in too, so it can completely bet in the stadium. And that's every awesome. Emotional hedge bet I made lost. It could have gone any better. Totally worth it.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Cost an extra $75.
Okay, so you paid $70, $75 for a win. That's easy.
For pure happiness.
Yes, yes. That's the smartest way. Like, I know, like, for a City fan, a Liverpool fan, it doesn't make that much sense to do that. But when the Guardians are playing again and I want to bet on them, I'm going to take, like, it makes sense. Bet on things that you don't want to have happen, so when they happen, you can just make money off it.
I would have won like $300 if 0-0 happened. I was making sure I'm either going to win money that made me happy if this game was a dud, or scores, goals happened.
Yeah, and when it was 0-0 for as long as it was, I was like, very least Dylan's going to hit that one like secretive bet. All right, big win for Wolves. Like I said, you know, awesome to be able to see the pictures, and we got to talk about it. The two goals for you guys were Aitonori, 52nd minute goal, Carney with the own goal in the 67th, and Iwobi got the goal for Fulham 8 minutes in the stoppage time. At the very least, Aaron got to see a Fulham goal. I think did he say that?
He didn't celebrate. Not that he could have, because it basically said we got tickets that also said identify yourself if you're a Fulham fan, and like, we'll move you.
Yeah. So, all right. Hopefully the whole gang can get out there and go to, like we were saying, a championship or a League One game. I think that'd be better speed for us, and we can all gang up and be on the same side of like a Plymouth Argyle game. That'd be sick. Let's get into it. Any last things, Dylan? I don't want to cut you off.
I just want to know what kind of
Nick's camera was making weird.
Oh, I don't know how much swag Dylan got. Like, the dude's decked out.
You're looking at it. It literally was this.
Yeah.
And all of it was cheaper than when I ordered a jersey in the past and shipped it to myself. So, like,
didn't even have to pay that VAT tax. Love to see it. All right. Let's get into this week. We go from Dylan's Wolves to Nick's Manchester United, a 2-0 win. Fernandez Penn, Rashford Penn gets the big dub over the mighty, mighty Toffees of Everton. Feeling good, Nick?
I'm feeling how I'm feeling. You know, they're...
How is that?
it's a season that's existing right now. You know, Garnacho, first ever Man United player to get two penalties in a Premier League game. I know what happened to my voice there. honestly, I watched just some highlights because, again, it was going on when I was at school with camp. But, I mean, whatever. We'll take the win. Very little outside shot of getting in the Champions League. Hopefully we can get into fifth somehow. Honestly, Spurs winning was probably the best result for us. You know? So that gives us a little bit of an outside chance to maybe get hot and maybe sneak in and somehow get that fifth place spot because the Champions League. But we're just going to limp through it, man. We're just going to limp through it, and I'll get my hopes back up next year as Michael's just going to stomp on them more. So go ahead.
What do you want?
Go ahead,
what do you want? 10-1? 10-1? I'll give you 10-1 fifth place. There's no shot.
Ten to one.
Yeah, give me a tenner. And if you get fifth, I'll give you $100.
I'll do it. Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
I do have to ask: and you mentioned Onana 8 clean sheets this season? Is that your numbers that you threw at us were kind of weird? Is he second now? What is he?
Yeah, again? No. I 2 days of baseball practice. I'm like a complete zombie right now. He is in second place to David Raya is in first with 9. I almost said in ninth with 1. Jesus Christ. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the only thing I wanted to say, I'm done here in response to last week, is there was an article that said that all the shots United's giving up, and I'm saying this in a frustrating fashion, where Ten Hag's like, oh, it's fine. 75% of them are from non-threatening positions statistically, which is like, that's great. But you're still giving up 23, 25 shots. And I looked at the Everton shot chart. At least half of them were within the box. So at some point, it's not great. But hopefully we get some defenders. But I thought that was just the only thing I thought. I was like, apparently they're doing it on purpose.
Who's to say?
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. One can hope.
It is, I'll say this, the definition of a silent, amazing season by Onana. No, yeah. Would have never guessed he's second. And to be honest with you, let's call a spade. The four defenders in front of him at all times are not top flight four defenders. So, shout to him. All right.
More with less.
Bournemouth, 2-2, Sheffield. The goals came from Hammer for Sheffield, giving him a 1-0 lead. And then Robinson, they go 2-0 up. Bournemouth battled back with Otara in the 74th and Unal in the 90+1. Kind of disappointing home game for Bournemouth. Michael, you're the Bournemouth expert here. Their XG was off the charts. Their possession was off the charts. Just kind of disappointing. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, you're going to see, and I think we saw with like Burnley too, there's just going to be a level of desire from these bottom teams to like give it one last go for a couple weeks and see if they can make a dent and give themselves a chance at the end. And, you know, Bournemouth are, what are they, like 14th or 15th? You know, they're down there for a reason. Like, we love how they play. We love Iriola. We obviously love Solanke and all that. They don't finish their chances very often, but they got some exciting guys, so you're going to have results like this. Could have easily lost it. Could have easily wanted a goal, got taken back. But I'm still big cherry. Yeah. No worries there.
Yeah, another bottom-feeding team. Palace 1-1, ties with Luton. Mateta in the 11th gave Palace the lead. They blow it 6 minutes into stoppage time, 90+6, with a Woodrow goal. I guess I'd be the Palace expert here. I don't know what they do. This Glasner guy is kind of eh. This is a game you can't lose. It's at home, too. It's at Palace. Right?
Yeah, but they're pumping noise, so, like, what does that even mean?
True. I just feel like they're going to get to the end of the season. Palace is going to finish 14th to 16th, and they're going to be disappointed with this guy as a manager and hire another guy. Like, that's what I could see happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it takes a second, obviously, to, like, implement what he wants to do. I think, like, Mateta, like, Teta's halfway decent. Ayu is, feel like he's, like, 100, but he still, you know, impacts games a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have Eze, who's really, really good.
Lerma
is great.
Chris Richards.
Like, Tyreek Mitchell. Chris Richards is American, for sure. I don't know. I think they got a lot of... them and West Ham are so similar in, like, weirdly the same but different ways that yeah. It just... I don't know if they're ever going to be happy until, like, they just strike gold and make a run into, like, the top 10.
Yeah. Don't disagree. Arsenal, 2-1 win over Brentford. Wasn't without some controversy, though. Declan Rice in the 19th minute opens it up for Arsenal right before half. Wissa... 45 plus 4 ties it up. And then Kai Havertz in the 86th minute gets the winner for the Gooners. I've been passing the ball around like Pete Maravich. Dylan, you're the lone Arsenal guy backing them here for the win. I don't think you got to watch this one, though, so I feel bad calling you out. Nick, I'll go to you.
So I don't put certain games on TV.
Kai Havertz shouldn't even be in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's annoying as shit, dude. I'm starting to really not like him.
I think he's coming into his own. Embracing his role on the team. Leading Arsenal to be top of the table and could end up winning the league.
Good call, Dylan.
Can you jog my memory, what happened? Why shouldn't he be in the game?
He appealed for a pen, and it was a dive of all dives. When they showed from the goal side... camera angle, it looked like maybe, and then they showed it from like basically the corner flag, and the guy, whoever the defender was, reaches in the toe and he stubbed his toe on the ground like a good like 8 to 10 inches away from the foot, and then tried to sell the crap out of it.
Yeah. He's evolved into a Duke basketball player.
Yes. That's such a good comparison, I think. Tell me why I'm wrong,
No, obviously I agree with you, but Duke basketball players actually hit people when they take their cheap shots. You know.
They just trip him.
True. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
He was on a yellow, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The simulation calls we gotta start giving cards for this. Like way more often, I think, for sure. Which unfortunately it just for has me to means... be go ahead.
Sorry, there just has to be more consistency. Like people like I mean Delo literally got a double yellow in 2 seconds. For getting mad, and, like, that's, again, one time wasting, two, like, you know, talking shit to the ref, whatever, but, like, I've seen people get simulation all the time, like, I don't care if it's at the beginning of the game or the end of the game, like, if it's a card, it's a card, just be consistent, I don't care.
Yeah, which I'm sure we'll get to later. The one thing I did want to mention, Arsenal beats Porto today, we're recording on Tuesday in the Champions League off penalty kicks. Michael and I had an interesting discussion. Michael wanted him to get booted. He thought it'd be funny. And I, as a City fan, I think this is a 5-alarm fire in my own brain that I'm thinking this way, needed the fixture congestion for them. Like, that's what I said. I was like, I need them to stay in it. I need the fixture congestion. I've never said that about a team. So I'm worried, obviously.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're shook.
I'm a little rattled. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But 2-1 win for Arsenal over Brentford. Villa. Talk about not showing up. 4-0 loss. At home to Tottenham, Madison in the 50th, Brennan Johnson in the 53rd, Son in the 90th plus one, and Timo Werner, welcome back, 90 plus four. Maddie's son, John's son, Heung-min's son, Tottenham's on a roll. Michael, you want to say something about that? You gave me some eyes.
Dude, I don't understand Aston Villa at all. Like, I understand losing this game because Spurs are very good in their own right, but getting just absolutely crushed at home like this
yeah.
is so weird. don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is just like such a bad performance on Villa or like Spurs like showed up big time.
In honor of Timo,
they're like 5 out of 6 in their last home games. Like it's not what they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they've come back down to earth. But I was gonna say in honor of Timo, this is more of a blitzkrieg by Tottenham. Tottenham's playing a big role coming up, and I know every social media account's posted this, but they got us, you, and Arsenal back to back to back in the Premier League coming up. So
we're last. So
last one's
kind of good for us. I feel like, yeah.
So they're gonna basically be able to have a say in who becomes the champion in this league. I got a feeling, and they look good. The issue with them, and I think they figured it out this game, probably helped that McGinn got the ready and was out, but they never get a clean sheet, and a clean sheet against a team who might be not playing that well, but is as good as Villa is, it's pretty impressive. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. All right, another team we have no clue who they are, what they are, what they stand for. Brighton and Hove Albion, a 1-0 win over Nottingham Forest, which we're pretty sure is pretty shit, and just lucky that there's three teams worse than them at the moment. But an own goal by Omobamidele. Is that correct?
Omobamidele.
Why couldn't like Yates have the own goal or even Origi? Anyway, 1-0 win. Let's just do this. They're not giving up goals now, but they're also not scoring them.
I wouldn't even say they're not giving up goals now. Like this game, I guess they didn't give up a goal, but they also like had 0.43 XG. Like that is so not like them.
Yeah,
I mean they're just a mess right now. I don't know what their deal is.
They haven't scored a goal for themselves since the 1-1 draw against Everton on February 24th. They got shut out by the Wolves. They got shut out by Fulham, and they got beat the shit by Roma midweek 4-0. So
kicked their ass.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. No Matoma. That's a good point. But at the same time, like, De Zerbi's kind of playing himself out of contention for some of these bigger jobs, and maybe that's fine with him, but they're weird.
I'd argue he's lining himself up perfectly for the Manchester United job.
Good call. I'm also going to regret... Oh, no, it's postponed. Never mind. I was going to say, I regret saying this because I think the City game with them's next, but Dylan, go ahead.
We need to hit the panic button officially, too, because Reyna wasn't even on the team, I'm pretty sure. Like, he didn't even suit up.
Yeah. So. Man. I don't know what's going on there.
The thing I don't understand about that is, like, Nuno was part of bringing him in, right?
So it said he had a knock. Like that, real quick,
there's something dumb happening.
Real quick, it said he had a knock. I will say this. So there might be a medical reason. Yeah.
Okay.
But.
My knee's bruised.
Yeah. He's played 38 minutes since the transfer. That's not good. That's not good.
No bueno.
I mentioned David Moyes, Burnley 2, West Ham 2. This is, I think, the first time ever this season that all three relegation teams got a point in 1 week, by the way. I'm just realizing that now. Fofana opened it up for Burnley in the 11th. They got a second goal on a Mavropanos' own goal, 2-0 going in the half. As soon as they kick it off in the second half, Paqueta with a 46-minute goal, and then Danny Ings in stoppage time ties it up and saves a point for West Ham. I don't know. What else is there to say that I didn't say at the beginning? Like, Moisey pulled this out, but West Ham's good, and I don't understand how, and Burnley's bad, and I don't understand how that either. So that's where I'm at with this.
I agree. West Ham is, again, wasn't able to see this one, but from what I could at least gauge off of it is that you have a team that's inconsistent and plays down to its competition going back in, and then I think Burnley just wants the season to be over.
Yeah. Michael and I talked about this last week, though, when I forget who was on and who wasn't off. But obviously, we're going to be seeing a company next year in the championship. I think they're keeping them, which is honestly probably a good move. So we'll see. Chelsea, 3-2 win over Newcastle. I watched this in an airport. Nicholas Jackson in the 6th opened the scoring up. Isak tied it up in the 43rd. Cole Palmer in the 57th, but Kyle Mudrick in the 76th, and Jacob Murphy with the consolation goal in the 90th, 3-2 win. One thing that I will say before I pass it over to my cast, the Mudrick goal is a mirage. If you think that this is a turning of the corner, you're an idiot. He's still terrible. And on the flip side, the only transfer that they got right is Cole Palmer, in my opinion. He's pretty good.
I mean,
yeah, kept them.
Was there a full moon, Dylan, in England last weekend?
I don't know. There was clouds every day.
Oh, well, I mean, the fact that Timo Werner and Mudrick both scored on the same weekend, like, there was something, you know, the Wolves were clearly howling at the moon after that big victory on Saturday, so.
Nick's trying to say something was afoot.
That bad?
What's that?
Did you want to get a moon pun in there that bad?
No, that just all came naturally. It just came as it organically as it just kind of flowed. So,
all right, I'll ask this question: Do either of these, like Newcastle being in 10th, Chelsea being in 11th, are is there any hope for them next season? I think Newcastle's got to get some depth. Obviously, we've been saying that for 15 weeks straight now. But what's the Chelsea plan?
You're our most active Chelsea social media follower. Like, they got to be saying we're turning the corner, considering this was, as I texted you guys, the announcer or whoever was the host on Sunday said, or Monday said, this is a huge step towards European competition for these two in 10th yeah. and 11th. Clearly, you know, there's something, they must be turning the corner. I'm sure Chelsea Twitter is probably going nuts now.
Look, I'll say this. If Chelsea go undefeated, win every game here on out, they still don't have as many points as City, Liverpool, and Arsenal right now. So that tells you what type of season they're having.
That's
mid-table.
Puts them at 72 points.
My math was wrong. You're right, Nick. That's real time podcasting. Sorry about that.
Well, give it like 2 weeks and they'll be there. I mean, it's not wrong. Just give them like 2 weeks.
I was like, it's 62, man. We already got that beat. What the hell? Yeah, haven't been mathing lately, so I apologize for that. But it's just been a bad season, and they're talking now about having a fire sale, which.
But they have to be able to try and bring people in if that's what Poch really wants. It's the only way they can do it.
It's just insane, dude. That's going to be the cycle. The cycle before for them was bringing in a new coach to then fire a coach too early to then bring in a new coach. Now they're on a cycle that's more expensive, where it's like bringing in shitty players, giving them long-ass contracts, getting rid of those shitty players to get other shitty players because they don't do proper scouting. I'm convinced that their scouting department's the worst scouting department in the Premier League. I've said this many times, so we'll have to see. Michael, any last takes on this one before we get into the main event?
He's saving all his energy.
And that's a summation of both those two team seasons. All right. The most talked about 1-1 draw in this podcast history, I guess. City 1, Liverpool 1, at Anfield, pumped in sound and all. The last match in regular season for Pep and Klopp. Stones scored in the 23rd minute off of a corner. McAllister equalizes in the 50th on a pen. And in 90 plus 8, a Jeremy Doku drop kick in the box does not garner a penalty. And that's pretty much all you need to know about this game. Right, Michael?
Yeah, I think it was actually insane to watch the collective world forget that there is not offsides on a corner. Because, like,
you mean the collective world as in, yeah, me and Ian.
No. You and Ian said that, and I was like, oh, they're idiots. Like, they just don't know. Brother, everybody was like, oh, so this isn't a block? And I was like, he's not offsides. Like, he...
Yeah.
Are we not remembering this? Like, it was everybody. Like, everyone had a problem with it, and then people kind of, like, realized how stupid they were. And then, I mean, I thought it was, like, like a pretty great game, to be honest. Like, it's always usually exciting, especially the draws. I mean, we had a long discussion about the Doku one. I kind of feel like, if we want to just get there, like, to the main talking point, I feel like if, one, it's not the end of the game, this is not literally the last moment of the game, and two, I kind of feel like if Salah doesn't, like, try to get a pen pretty much immediately before that, there's a better chance that he just gives that. That being said, like, I do think it's a foul and a penalty, but I also am kind of like, I don't really want to win like that. I feel like we could have won the game so many other ways.
I'll take a cue from our co-host here. Michael, don't apologize for winning, one. Two, it was obvious, it was a penalty. Like, I'm not going to play Man City moron while you're being level-headed Liverpool fan here. Like, it's a penalty. It's a foul anywhere else on the field. And it just wasn't called. And there's a few points I wanted to mention, but we jumped right into this. One, Endo and McAllister are maybe the two best players on the field the entire game.
Sorry, that's what I wanted to bring up too. I've never watched a game that, like, our midfield was better than yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those two specifically. Like, Endo's outrageous. Like, I can't believe he was, like, 18 million. That's crazy.
Yeah. I saw a lot of comments about, like, how bad De Bruyne was having a game. Like, how bad of a game he was having. And I kind of felt like it was taken away from how good of a game those two guys were having. I think it's a pen. I'm worried, if I'm being honest, about our team just because the back line is still so shaky and doesn't understand what they're doing. I thought Foden was going to have a bigger impact. They got him way more involved in the beginning of the game than they did towards the end. Ederson's out now for a while, which is going to be a pretty big problem. I think it's maybe a month and a half that they said for him.
I don't think it's a problem at all. I think Ortega's really good. I'm not even joking.
He is, but it's still Ederson. So we'll see, but yeah. The one thing I did want to say, and I know that Nick and Dylan are kind of sitting here being like, all right, when's this going to end? But,
it's your moment.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I was not listening to the full podcast, but I got a clip of the Paddy the Batty podcast that he does with the Liverpool singer. And they had a point that I don't disagree with. And they said that VAR is modern day match fixing now. And I think there is a little bit of a, like, it's a typical Liverpool podcast that people are going to say that they're the ones bringing this up because you guys are woe is Liverpool at all times. But I don't disagree with the idea of it.
Say that with a straight face again.
I don't disagree with it. I don't. Like, I think it's interesting. I do think it's a little, I think it's ironic that this didn't get called. And then also we got to go back to Tottenham. And that's the other point, is if we do win the league, I need us to win it by 7 points, which won't happen. But if we don't win it by more than 7 points, every Liverpool fan is going to be like, we should have won the league.
So this is my point. There's still, in my eyes, only you have to win it by, like, three points, okay, for me. Because if you win it by two, the only game in my eyes that is, like, completely unforgivable is the Spurs game. Because it was just, they just fucked up. Like, they completely missed an objective call. The Odegaard handball one, you know, I thought it was a handball. they came out and said after it should have been a handball. This one, and even that, because we were losing in that game, that doesn't necessarily mean we win that game. Like, that changes the game. This one's a little bit more like it was literally the last kick of the game. We also might not hit the penalty. I'm totally with that, and from the beginning, I've basically said, like, I don't think it's, you know, corruption and all that bullshit. I think this year, like, it's definitely affecting us more than most other teams. I think there's probably, like, four teams that have been, like, fucked by VAR real hard this year. But last year, I don't think we were fucked by VAR, like, that much. So it obviously works out. I just think the refs are bad. Like, I just think they're bad and they're inconsistent. And it's been all year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Dylan, wanted to go to you at least for a little bit on this one. You mentioned the City fan that was undoubtedly obnoxious. But what else? What was it like kind of watching the game in a pub there.
Different? Like, if the... Well, like
different how?
Well, you... I was getting into it. You called it out. We got called out before. There's only one TV. But they're playing sound, which is great. But it's only one TV, and it's more... There's also no bar stools at any of the pubs either, which I absolutely love. Side topic, I might open a British pub one day in America. But regardless, because of that, everyone's sitting. No one's standing. So you're all sitting and just talking to your table, basically. So it's very much boisterous as things were happening as would be at home. Of like, oh, shit, this. And then you heard the side comments of the tables near you, except for our one friend I mentioned earlier. But outside of that, like, you're basically, it's like watching in your home living room while getting beers, like, in the atmosphere, to be honest.
Yeah.
And this was what I was told was the local, like, football pub to go to.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Michael, I think you watched this at home, right?
Yes, I watched this at home with a blanket wrapped around me, pacing in the kitchen.
So, I've decided, and I'd love, Nick, your and Dylan's take on this too, big games like this don't want to go out for. Ever. Like, hate it. Hate this shit. Want to be able to feel comfortable and say whatever I wanted. We went, I was in Naples this past weekend with my in-laws, and we went to this bar. It was actually a sick bar. It's called Dylan's Tap House. I was trying to get some good juju from Dylan just because I knew you had such a good weekend. But it was really great. The only problem is I find myself to be not a yeller, but I'm a, ugh. When things go wrong, and I'm with my in-laws at a public place, I had to be, like, dialed in silent more. It was like, oh, that stinks, like, whatever. But I did pace. One time, I got up from my bar stool and, like, fell back a little bit. Didn't realize there was an old man sitting behind me. And he goes, whoa, what?
You're in Naples. Of course there's an old man behind
you. Well, old people everywhere, right? But he was, like, freaking out that I almost ran into him. Funniest part about this, and I got to shout out my father-in-law here. Because he's a former attorney, so quick. This guy ends up sitting next to him on the bar after it opened up. And I think my father-in-law had a couple beers in him, so he's getting a little bit more open, asking people questions or whatever. And he looks at this guy and he goes, who are you rooting for? And it was the Iowa women's game or something. And this dude, dead face, deadpan, looks at him and goes, I don't talk to people. And then my father-in-law goes, how'd you get your food then? and that was it. But I was sitting next to him and I saw the train wreck happen in real time, and the guy goes, I don't talk to people, and I go, oh fuck, oh my god. But just like Mr. Jua, just ready for the next line as it needed to be presented. So Liverpool games I want to watch at home. I don't want to do this shit anymore. It was terrible. Michael, go ahead.
Okay, so with this was obviously the best result for Arsenal. Because yeah. Now they're first, you know. I actually think, and if they, I think they have the hardest run in the rest of the season. I think your guys' the next couple games is maybe a little bit harder, but theirs is also tough. I'm going to say it. If they beat you at the Etihad, I think they deserve it.
Yeah.
I think that completely kills the mentality thing. If they go there and beat you guys, then 100% I'm terrified of them moving forward.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Also, I mentioned the Porto game, them winning it on penalties. Michael, you called it while we were watching it real time. Like, cue Arsenal Twitter talking about how they're mentality monsters already, and I just still don't believe it.
And the only other thing, too, is because I brought this up and John said it was a good point, he doesn't usually like the things I say. I don't dislike many people on that team. I think Kai Havertz is just kind of annoying. Like, whatever. There is part of me that still likes him because Chelsea hated him, so just by proxy, I have to like him a little bit. The person all the time for me is just Arteta. And I think it's just because he, to me, Klopp is, like, completely himself to, like, you know, people making fun of him for fist pumping the crowd and all that shit. Pep is, like, you know, completely himself, and he's like a micromanager, and that just, you know, he's a genius and all this other stuff. I feel like Arteta is trying to be like six different managers at once, and he's like having an identity crisis at all times.
I just saw something that apparently the Porto coach, in his post-game press conference, apparently Arteta made a comment about the coach's family, and he goes over, like, yelled it at his bench in Spanish, and the coach walked over and goes, well, they're no longer with us, and then started mouthing off to him. Like, apparently he made a comment about a dead relative. I don't know if you knew about
Arteta did?
I sent it to you guys on Instagram. Allegedly, this is all, you know, he said stuff, but talk about, you know, a guy who needs an avocado.
Holy shit.
Good point, Nick. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think he feels comfortable in his own skin. And we know how that, you know, most boys go through that in middle school and high school. So I think that's what you're dealing with here. All right. Match week done and dusted. Let's get into our predictions again. Shorter week. We got the FA Cup coming up. Little update on the standings. Michael's still in first. Not a great week. 4-6, 158 and 120. Nick still in second, 147 and 131. I am actually tied with you now, 147 and 131. Dylan, 137 and 141. That doesn't count, though. You're in the UK. How could you have a good week there? You're distracted. All right. First things first. Game tomorrow, actually. We got Bournemouth hosting Luton, which you don't have to find it on the sheet yet. We'll update it later. I'll lead us off here. I got a draw. Bournemouth on a downswing. Luton fighting for their life. They need any point they can get. I got a draw for Luton here. Dylan, who you got?
I think Luton's about to go on a 2-game winning streak, so give me Luton.
Love it.
I found it on the spreadsheet the other day. Took a little bit of searching. But I'm with you, John. I'm taking a draw.
Yeah. I like the scrappiness right now. Michael?
All right, I will be the analytics guy, and I'll take Bournemouth at home for the win with a bigger number.
And that may be why he is leading the pack. Who knows? Burnley hosting Brentford, a team that also got a draw that needs to get some points. And Brentford looks kind of weird, Brentford-y. Dylan, who you got?
I'm going to take Brentford.
Nick?
JJ Watts.
Ooh. Nick, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. I got Burnley. I want the bottom four to get a little spicy here. That's what I'm hoping for. Michael?
I got Brentford, mainly because I think Burnley wasted a good performance with a draw at West Ham. So
yeah, it's all right. We're going to go back to Luton. They're hosting Forest. This is a big game. Forest is going to learn a lot about their stance after this weekend. Michael, lead us off here. Who are you taking?
This is a draw.
Draw written all over it, he says. Dylan?
Confidence of winning midweek. Luton.
I got Luton, too.
Make it three.
Again, maybe why Michael leads all of us in this, but hey, we're here for fun now.
We're here for vibes.
Yeah, big time. All right, London Derby, Fulham hosting Tottenham. I got Tottenham. I think they're on a bit of a heater right now, and that's a big win against Villa. Nick, who you got?
I got Spurs, too.
Yeah, Michael?
Spurs. I got Spurs. Yep.
Dylan?
Spurs.
All right, two teams. One I gave a shout-out to, West Ham, hosting Aston Villa. West Ham, such an enigma. Who knows? Michael, who you got?
I got Aston Villa. I don't know why.
Yeah. Fair.
Dylan? What I do.
Literally same. I'm just assuming that West Ham won't show up.
Nick, I'd be impressed if you do the same thing as me. I got a draw.
I'm actually agreeing with the two formers there. Ah. I had Villa just because where my thumb went when I clicked on it.
Yeah. I gotcha. we mentioned the FA Cup. We're down to the quarterfinals. Man United hosting Liverpool, Chelsea hosting Leicester, City hosting Newcastle. Wolves? You got to face that racist bunch in Coventry like we were talking about earlier.
Yo.
I mean, the sign for the Leicester game, Dylan reminded us, pretty effed up.
I know. Don't yeah. blanket them, though.
Yeah, sorry. Not trying to paint with a broad brush there. I'll get pretty specific. Those Coventry fans. I'll go first. United-Liverpool, I got Liverpool. I know it's at United. Dylan?
I'll take Liverpool.
Nick?
Oh, we're smashing and grabbing, baby. United.
Love it.
Michael? I will if we can win the Prem game here, I'll gladly give you the FA Cup.
Okay.
But I got Liverpool.
Yeah. Chelsea hosting Leicester.
That's silly.
Chelsea hosting Leicester. Dylan, who you got in this one?
I really want to take Leicester, but I'm going to say Chelsea. I think they're trying so hard to figure out how to win a trophy to get in to anywhere.
Yeah. Nick?
What a bad son. What a bad son. Boxes, baby. Boxes.
If you looked at my record, it probably means Leicester's going to win.
I got Leicester too, Nick, just because I wanted to root against Chelsea. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's pretty much 80% of the reason why.
Yeah. Michael?
Dylan, I do want to remind you that you and I are tied for the lead in this, so you're actually predicting pretty well in the FA Cup.
That's true. Yeah.
Dylan, a big domestic cup guy.
Yeah.
I know the whole pyramid, that's why.
More to play with.
I did have Chelsea, but John did just remind me that I can't in good conscience ever pick that team to do anything, and I don't want to have to face them in a final if it comes down to that again, so I'm just going to say they get eliminated with the loss of Leicester.
Love it. City hosts Newcastle. I got City because Newcastle's still decimated. Nick?
Yeah, this is going to be a rout.
Yeah. Michael?
City.
Dylan?
City.
And then Wolves hosting Coventry. I'm realizing this. We could have... Oh, no, we can't. Never mind. Wolves hosting Coventry. Who you got, Dylan?
I'll take the Wolves, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know. I don't know if we have any actual attacking player. Actually, Cunha might be back, so maybe. We might be. Go. I'm going to bank on Cunha coming back.
I got the Wolfies, too. Nick?
You were going to say it's going to be an all-pod semifinal.
You knew it, too. I was like, oh, wait. And I realized you guys are playing each other, so...
Going up the Wolves.
Michael?
I have Wolves as well, and it's actually insane that the eight teams, all four of ours, are still in it, in and of itself. It's
true.
Crazy.
True.
Actually, it's not, because it's City, Liverpool. Yeah, maybe not, but...
Not crazy, but I wish that would translate to new listeners. That'd be sick. One can hope. So. Anyway. all right, FA Cup done and dusted. Dylan, you got any bets coming up for us this week?
Keeping it simple, I think the game tomorrow, there should be goals over 3.5 plus 115. I think Burnley's bad. Brentford's getting plus money. I will take Brentford plus 110 over the weekend. And like I said, over the weekend, I think Luton Town's winning. So give me the plus 170 Luton Town at home over Nottingham Forest.
Love to see it. I did mention in the last pod that the smartest bet is a Man City Liverpool draw. So I hope some people out there took it, even though we didn't on the pod. I will say this. Man City, Newcastle, both teams to score, I think, is pretty safe money as well. Because that City defense is weird. So we'll have to see how that goes. All right. Podcast done and dusted. Like I said, likes, subscribe, share. Leave us a comment. Give us some feedback. Tell us how we're doing.
Hit the bell. Hit the bell icon for notifications.
For mobile notifications. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
So, I have a shout out and a joke. We need to shout out our good friend who went on the trip, Rima, who now is officially a Premier League fan and was, I think, fully now a Wolves fan. So, we're adding to the pack. Happy about that. May have a new listener. And with that, I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm going to repeat a joke because it's only fitting to do this. But what's the difference between Fulham and the Bermuda Triangle? Bermuda Triangle has 3 points. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.